Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond.
Up next is North State Give and Take, and it's made possible by generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Cotton Party, offering contemporary women's clothing and accessories with an emphasis on natural fibers in the heart of downtown Chico. Cotton Party has been providing friendly service for over 30 years at 337 Broadway Street. Cotton Party is grateful for your business and offers complimentary gift wrapping with each purchase. More information by calling Cotton Party at 893-4923 and by The Printed Image, providing screen printing and embroidery in Chico since 1980. The Printed Image, open Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. and by appointment. More information by calling 530-898-9525. And today we're going to be doing a rerun of a North State Give and Take program about pursuit safety. Give and Take here on KZFR 90.1 FM. I'm Bobby Tryon, and I interview local folks here in the North State doing some pretty interesting things. Today, I'd like to welcome Mark Priano. He lives here in Chico, and he's with a group called PursuitSafety.org. Welcome, Mark.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I found you.
That's right.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about PursuitSafety.org.
All right. So PursuitSafety.org basically is a national nonprofit. It was formed in about 2007 to 2009. Nothing like this ever existed back in 2007. The mission of this organization is to prevent innocent bystanders and police officers from being needlessly killed or injured during a pursuit. The organization came about as a result of a personal tragedy for our family. The founder of Pursuit Safety is Candy Priano, my wife. She is the founding director of this organization. The organization has board of directors, various folks from around the country on the board. We also have an advisory board that is made up of current and retired law enforcement officers and advocates. Includes a professor from South Carolina that has been heavily involved in criminal justice forever and has extensively dealt with the pursuit issue, pursuit being one of the tools of law enforcement. Basically, pursuit safety, the aim is to reduce avoidable pursuits and have consistently applied practices and policies. In today's world, about 3 pursuits per week kill individuals. 1/3 of those individuals killed are innocent bystanders, meaning they're hit by the fleeing car, they're hit by standing on a street corner. What's really interesting was when you add it up over a year's time, you pretty much have the number of individuals maybe in a jumbo jet that are innocent people dead during a year. That does not even include the thousands injured, property damage, etc. A little bit about how it started out. The personal tragedy for the family was January of 2002. Our family was driving in Chico through the avenues, and most people know where the avenues are. And unbeknownst to us, while we were driving at 6 o'clock on a Tuesday night in January, very dark on Fifth Avenue, there was a pursuit going on. And it was Chico police officers chasing a teenage girl with her 2 teenage friends who had taken her mother's car without permission. Now, the girl had been driving around for multiple hours with no issues, but there was then initiated a pursuit that was going on a parallel street. All told, the pursuit went through 5 stop signs without stopping. Dark, narrow roads. We've all been down Fifth. Many people have been down Fifth Avenue. That girl was coming down Palm, with multiple police cars chasing her. Speeds went anywhere from 15 to 60 throughout this pursuit, and we ended up getting broadsided at Fifth and Palm, in excess of 55 miles an hour, basically. And our daughter, who was dressed in her uniform to play her varsity basketball game that night at Champion Christian High School, was critically injured, never woke up. Massive head, internal head injury, took 7 days, and then she passed away. So the bottom line is, at that point, it was what the heck happened, and you just had to get through life. But as my wife started investigating the whole issue, because there was a lot of other things that went along with this as far as what really happened, we found out that pursuits were really an interesting issue in that didn't get a lot of airplay. We all remember watching TV and seeing chases. And oh, how exciting that is. There's a multiple police cars are chasing a guy down a highway who's swerving in and out of traffic. But you never thought to stop and think, what happened to that car that got wiped out in the middle of an intersection? No one ever went back and found out what happened to that innocent person. Well, we did. And it's basically what happened to us. And when you start digging into this, you find out a lot of factual things. And so Candy basically founded an organization. To this day, it's the only organization of its kind. The organization is an area for innocent family members and victims. They have somewhere to go to get knowledge, information. There's issues out there relative to legislation. There's issues out there to victims' advocacy. There's issues out there relative to education. We have a program called Pull Over and Have No Regrets for teen drivers' education. In other words, lights and sirens come on, stop. There's issues out there relative to court cases that we've been involved in and helped across, like in Kentucky, we have, our organization has announced in a Supreme Court decision recently that changed a law in the state of Kentucky relative to innocent victims have a recourse to go find out what happened now. So basically it encompasses a lot of things, but you found out in the, as you started researching this, that one third of pursuit related deaths and injuries are innocent people. And that taken individually, no one put it all together. But when you take it over a year's time, and then you look back at FBI statistics from 2008, and you find out that thousands of people have died and been injured. And then you find out that the number of reported cases is probably underreported, because there's no, what you find out as we've done this organization was, while the National Highway Safety Board has a database to report these to, not all police agencies reported pursuit crashes or deaths of innocent people or injuries. To this day, if you go into the NHTSA, they call it the NHTSA report for January of 2002 in Chico, California, it shows zero pursuit deaths in January of 2002. Well, we know that's not accurate. So you start to build up a lot of information here. A couple things about the organization. We are not there to ban all police chases. There is a time and a place for a pursuit. When it's a major felony that's going on, or a murder, or there's something that is so dangerous to outweigh that the chase has to occur because it outweighs waiting to catch a person later, we've never said ban all pursuits. But then you find out that 90% of pursuits, and these are statistics from the FBI and police chief organizations, are for minor traffic offenses, minor crimes, then that means only 10% of chases are really those really bad guy ones. It starts to make you think, well, what are we chasing for? We've got stories within pursuit safety. You can't see it on my wall, but there's a poster of victims' pictures, and that just represents a six-week time of innocent victims over a six-week period that are dead all around the country that have happened over the years. And the stories are, they are just devastating.
You're listening to Mark Priano from PursuitSafety.org on KZFR.
An individual with his two children in the car taking a video back to a store is hit by police, by the fleeing driver who stole a six-pack of beer. A sister standing on a street corner, two little kids ran over because they're chasing an individual who had a taillight out. The stories go on and on. In our case, the teenage girl, they knew it was not a stolen car, even though that's how it was reported in the records of Chico back in 2002. It was mom's car. And as you start to unravel the story and the enterprise record through looking at information laws and trying to get at the story, you start to put the thing all together that it wasn't a stolen car. They knew it was juveniles. They knew it was a 15-year-old girl. And she had been driving for 2 hours without violating anything. And the pursuit turned it into a disaster, basically. So number one, that's one issue. Number two, we talked about we're not out here to ban all pursuits. Number three, we are not anti-law enforcement. This organization has worked with law enforcement. We have given presentations to police officer groups throughout the state relative to what are we about? Why do we want to do this? It's a real fine balancing act because you're almost telling them how to do their job, but you're not. But we're bringing up factual information. The goal is, what can you do better? Is there a safer way to do these chases at times? We know errors can happen. We know that tragedies can occur, but everything is not a split second decision. We have officers on our board, one of which was involved in a deadly pursuit when he was a young officer, and it changed him forever. Because you look back and he goes, should I really been driving 80 miles an hour on a rainy road for a stop sign, putting everybody in danger, including myself? And talking to officers who have worked with us, there's two schools of thought. There are many officers who want to do a different way. No one starts out to have a chase go bad. But a lot of officers will tell you they get tunnel vision. They're chasing, they don't see anything around them. And that includes the fact that you've now driven this car that you're chasing right into the side of an innocent bystander. So that's a little bit about all of the pieces and parts. It's one of the most dangerous police tactics there is. You talk about firearms, but the car is like a 3,000 to 4,000 pound weapon. Talking to police chiefs and organizations that we have throughout the years, and the organization is going on its 12th year, there's one school of thought where they realize there's an issue and they'd like to do better. And then there are other organizations that will never change. They will chase for everything, no matter what you bring up to them. So that's kind of what we do. It's based in Chico. Candy and the organization, we have a director, an executive director. She lives in Texas. Our financial accountant gentleman lives here in Chico. And then we've got board members, like I said, in Alabama and elsewhere. And then we've got some really great guys that have been involved in law enforcement for years that really push the education piece for the public. More importantly, they push the training aspect of it for officers. That if you look in many departments in this country, they spend a small amount of time on driving pieces, like the pursuit, the safety driving aspect of things. And they might get that one time and never get retrained or never have refresher classes, we find out. So there's a lot of little pieces where we talk about and we're involved in. There's technology out there that could help stop pursuits. At the same time, technology is only as good as the individuals using it. And in some cases, you have to be very close to a car to even invoke a piece of technology, dart, that will help stop the car, turn it off, or track it. You may already be in the pursuit when you're doing that. So you'll learn all the little pieces and parts, but education and training, education of the public, education of law enforcement of what the end result of some of these tragic pursuits has done to the remaining survivors, and then training of your officers on an ongoing basis.
We'll take a break here. You are listening to an interview with Mark Priano from PursuitSafety.org, a 90.1 FM KZFR. Interview with Mark Priano from PursuitSafety.org.
And the last piece is, I talked legislation, but the bigger part there is having accountability. For example, in the state of California, we have what's called blanket immunity. The police officers, the law enforcement, the municipalities that employ law enforcement agencies, be that sheriff, police, state police, have blanket immunity, meaning as long as they have a written pursuit policy on the books, and they show that they've trained on it, even though the policy may not have been followed, they're immune from liability if something happened. There's not many walks of life where you don't have accountability for something that went wrong. I'm in the financial world. If I don't follow regulations, I may have a problem. It was interesting to find out that it is blanket immunity in the state of California on this. Other states have limited liability or limited immunity. Other states have given more credence to the fact that if something really goes wrong, you have to let the innocent victims have their time to figure out what went wrong and potentially have litigation. But California is a little different in that respect. It's a blanket immunity deal that came about in 1986 that was passed, which basically takes a lot of your efforts away to actually find out what went wrong and knowing they're not going to be held accountable because officers may have made mistakes and you didn't get to even have your day in court, so to speak. So we cover a lot of ground, a lot of areas. It's a small organization, but it's been around a long time. And that's the sad part. We're still around, which tells you that it's still occurring. Anybody who thought pursuits were fun to watch would have a different viewpoint if you were in one as the innocent victim getting hit by the fleeing car. If you're hit by the fleeing police car, that's a whole different deal. You have some avenues to find out what went wrong, but if you're hit by the fleeing driver, it's a whole different deal of what may go down. So that's kind of a long overview of pursuitsafety.org for you.
Interesting, just to listen, I get the idea that you have learned so much since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
It seems pretty pertinent right now, even about awareness in law enforcement. So,
yeah.
It's big.
Well, and we've been to the other thing we do not support, and again, it's nice you bring that up because you're right. If you look around what's going on now, number one, you need the police department. So this whole idea of defunding the police or changing their, I don't know who you plan on calling when you call 911 and you're put on hold and there's no one to answer for you. So, I mean, and everybody goes, well, that's not what we mean. Folks, if you're talking defunding the police or changing things around, that's a bad discussion. In light of that, we support law enforcement, even with what happened to us. We're very unhappy. To this day, we hold 5 individuals accountable that never did get held accountable that really screwed up. Okay. At the same time, we get calls periodically from families who want us to help them. And as we interview them, we basically can't help them. They're the relatives of the fleeing driver. We will not support the fleeing driver who was injured or killed. That's not going to happen. Our mission is innocent victims, their families, and even police officers, because basically one police officer is killed or injured every 6 weeks in a pursuit. No, we will not support the fleeing driver. And it's sad. I mean, they may have lost a family member, but we cannot do that. Mm-hmm. They understand after we talk them through it, but there's no way that Pursuit mm-hmm. Safety could put their stamp on that. That's not the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand.
It's just the way it is.
Does the Chico police speak with you and know about you? I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah, they know about us. We, over a year, years ago, we had meetings with them, even really before the organization was put together. Since the organization was put together, I think we might have talked to them one time. We never really had an ongoing interaction with the Chico Police Department. We never got to sit down, and they realized that we wanted to have some changes made to their policy, but we never got involved in that. We were never asked to be involved. And that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. So we don't know right this moment. We really don't know the real ins and outs of their pursuit policy. I know that when this first happened to us in 2002, you noticed some things being done where pursuits were called off more frequently, but they're still pursuits.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, no innocent person's been killed or injured in Chico, to my knowledge, since. But one's too many. There's a lot of myths that you hear about when you talk about pursuits that that you'll hear from police officers, for example, that if we don't chase, everybody will flee. Well, Jeffrey Alpert, who is an expert in criminal justice reform and in firearms and pursuits, he's the professor in South Carolina. That's basically debunked by statistics that if this person's going to flee, they're going to flee. A normal human being will stop for the police. You're not going to have more. In Milwaukee, when they changed their pursuit, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I think it was in St. Louis as well, they had less, and in another town in Florida, they had less pursuits when they put more restrictive pursuit policies in. So one of the things we've talked to police departments about is a restrictive pursuit policy versus a non-restrictive policy. Non-restrictive basically says, well, we're worrying about the time of day and the road conditions and all this, but we're going to chase basically for pretty much everything. Versus restrictive policies where they're putting more fences around what will they chase for. For example, Baltimore, Maryland, for a number of years, wouldn't chase for stolen cars. Another town they put more restrictive policies where they were not going to chase for minor infractions like a taillight out. They'll try to get, if they don't stop, they get their plate, they try to find them later. Well, a bunch of these towns that did that over time, they found out in the year they did it, they had less pursuits and more apprehensions. So, there is a cause and effect that has been proven that could work.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you still have departments that will chase at the drop of a hat, or they'll chase, I always joke, and it's not a joke, they'll chase for a paperclip that's stolen.
You're listening to an interview with Mark Priano from PursuitSafety.org.
When you lay it all out for them, was that worth it? One of the worst cases in California, they're all bad. Ours is, we don't try to compare them. But in Stockton, California, a number of years ago, the high school had just gotten out at one of the local high schools in Stockton, California. The mother was picking up her daughter and her two friends. So three girls and the mom in the car. They pull away from the school parking lot and barely get out of the parking lot. And the Stockton Unified Police Department started a chase for something they saw. The mother, the three girls were all killed instantly at a corner, ran into by the fleeing vehicle going, ungodly speed, barely off the high school campus. So you look at that and you go, number one, they started a pursuit in a school zone while school was letting out. That kind of sums up, did that make a lot of sense? And we have those pictures of those four people on the wall behind us mm-hmm. in the headquarters here, Pursuit Safety's office. And it's like, really?
Wow.
I mean, but the everyday citizen doesn't
know about that.
They don't know about this. They don't know about what we deal with or what we've done. Because again, this is not like a mass casualty incident happening as a mass sum at once. Mm-hmm. A mass shooting, they're all bad. Or a plane crash. This is a onesie, twosie, and it just builds.
Yes.
But the stories are just devastating. Candy was in New Mexico a year and a half ago, and she actually is part of the book that Candy is writing, a book, a memoir that hopefully will go out sometime next year. She interviewed lots of innocent victims' surviving relatives. And you see how these two mothers in New Mexico that were killed, they were co-workers, nurses, and they were killed at lunchtime on a lunch hour. She met all the different family members, and the trail of 6 to 8 years later of devastation,
the tears
still felt, is insane. So everybody doesn't see this. And pursuits are a very dangerous event used by law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a place for them when the crime is so great that you might have to do it. But by and large, you've got to ask yourself, do I chasing this, me as an officer, lighten up this car for what they might have done or did? And it's, mm-hmm. is it worth putting myself and everybody downstream at risk? So we're involved in a lot of stuff. We have a lot of volunteer mm-hmm. assistance. 94%, on average, 90%+ of our donations go to the programs. There's no compensation on any of our board members, our advisory board members, the director. It's all mm-hmm. pro bono.
How do you get donations? Just people going to the site?
Yeah, on the site, there in a number of spots on the site, there's a donate here button.
Mm-hmm.
We get donations. We have family members who have made donations after we've done something with Trick. Mm-hmm. Not that we can do a lot other than talk to them. We point them in the right direction. We mm-hmm. point them to our website where we can talk about things they could ask, the questions you could ask your department, what went wrong. So we do a lot of whole hand holding that. What we can help them with. And a lot of times we'll get a donation of that. We have some key donors who have just been donating to us for a number of years.
Is that how you might learn about a police department that might be willing to listen? How do you find them?
In some cases, as an example, we'll have and it hasn't happened recently, but a couple of years ago, we had a couple different departments call us. About five to six years ago, we had a number of departments that would call us, and they were using the Pursuit Safety website as a resource of what was going on and what we're talking about, and finding all these things about innocent victims. And then they found out about our pullover, have no regrets teen drivers program to try to educate teen drivers between the ages of 13 and 25. And we did have an individual in Los Angeles call us about 2 weeks ago. They're putting together a program, and they may use our pullover program. So we've had law enforcement people over the years actually use the site.
Pursuitsafety.org for more information.
Yep.
And it's so pertinent right now. I just think that it just fits, you know, in so many ways, just awareness.
Yes. And, you know, we want things done the right way. We want people to be safe. We want officers to follow their policies.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need innocent people injured or killed. Mm-hmm. This is interesting that you put this on. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm glad to put it out there. Thank you so much for spending time with me today.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate you doing this.
Yes, wonderful. So remember, folks out there, it's pursuitsafety.org. If you're interested, there's a place to donate, and I'll bet a bunch of good information.
You've been listening to an interview with Mark Priano from PursuitSafety.org, located here in Chico, California. Go to that website if you'd like more information. And thanks for listening to North State Give and Take. And until next time, next Tuesday at 6.
North State Give and Take is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Cotton Party, offering cotton contemporary women's clothing and accessories.